Welcome to another edition of the Wahoo Central Podcast, which we record every week in the McHugh Center at the University of Virginia. I'm Jeff White, Director of News Content for VirginiaSports.com, and joining me today is George Galinovich, head coach of the reigning NCAA champion UVA men's soccer team. How's everything going, George?
So far, so good, Jeff. Just got a big game coming up tomorrow night.
Your team is ranked number six nationally and plays its ACC home opener Friday night at 7 o'clock against NC State, which is 5-1 overall. Your season opener drew more than 4,600 fans to Klockner Stadium. Much is made of the home field or the home court advantage in football and basketball. How big a factor can a rowdy crowd be in soccer?
Just as effective. It probably doesn't matter what sport it is, to be honest with you. And that crowd for our opening game against Charlotte, and Charlotte was a very tough, it was a very difficult team, good team. And what I found inspiring, and I think I made this comment to you, was it really helped us close out the game. The crowd really, you know, helped us make sure they didn't score and defend and put them in a tough place and being loud. So what a great crowd, and hopefully we'll have that against NC State Friday.
Your guys beat JMU 2-0 at Klockner on Tuesday night. Watching the game, it occurred to me that your team may look significantly different by the time the postseason starts in November. What are your thoughts on the season so far, and how close has this team come to reaching its potential?
Yeah, I think you're right. I hope you're right because, you know, my history shows that the more that you change – you know, as you go, I guess within reason and depending on, hopefully there are not a lot of injuries that are causing those changes, that you are, that's a good thing. That means you're evolving. That means you're adapting. And for us, that has always spelled success. And I think what you're seeing and what your thoughts are a lot of the dangerous attacking guys on our team are young guys. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to bring them along, you know, Opoku and Etienne and Kofi, even Dixon, who's been playing in the back, is more of an attacking player, and he may get some opportunities in that role as we go. But I think you saw Kofi score his first goal the other night, and for sure Opoku's goals are coming. You know, so I think that is one of the ways we're going to change. We're going to become a little bit more dangerous as some of these young players get some more experience and evolve a little bit.
Last time you were on this podcast, back in December, you were getting ready for your NCAA quarterfinal against Georgetown up in D.C. As everybody who follows the team knows, Virginia won that match, went on to win the NCAA title for the seventh time in program history and the second time in six seasons. What's been the response from former players in particular on the two most recent championships?
All positive, you know. Gosh, when you have the history and the tradition that we have, specifically in the past five seasons, two national championships, there's not a college soccer program that has had the success that we've had in the past 5 years. So a lot of support, in particular that Georgetown game that you referenced in the playoffs, a lot of former players at the game because of the area that it's in. A lot of support, not only after that game, but throughout the College Cup and after the national championship. So, yeah, all good stuff.
I know easy is not the right word to use, but getting your second title, did the first one make it more possible?
I think so.
You know, just kind of breaking through for the program and yourself and your players.
Yeah, I mean, you learn a lot. I mean, I think it's like going through a season. Gosh, I can go back to 2006 in St. Louis when we played in a College Cup, and ironically it was against UCLA in the semifinals. And the tactic in that game was to go for it, man. Like open game, let's go for it. It was 0-0 at halftime, and we should have been up a goal or two, and we ended up losing the game 4-0. You know, just one thing kind of happened after another. I learned a lot from that game. You know, I learned a lot from that game. That was probably the wrong thing to do. Come out swinging like that right from the start. Maybe wore us out a little bit. We got a little bit, didn't score the goals that we should have in the first half, and got a little bit down on ourselves because of it. So going into the 2009 semifinals and finals, took a little bit more of a cautious approach. You know, a little bit more of a cautious approach, making sure we were nice and steady. going into those games. And it you know, got us to the final and got us a championship. And I carried that same thought process, that experience, I guess, is you know, the successful formula going into those games. And then, of course, knowing your opponents. I mean, our tactics against UMBC in the past semifinal were a little different than the UCLA game. UCLA, we sat a little deeper, and UMBC, we felt like we could be a little bit higher in our defensive line, which we were for sure, and had plenty of chances. But yes, man, I mean, each College Cup, I've been to five, I've learned something from. And I think, as a result, in the past two, we've won those national championships.
I posted a story this morning on virginiasports.com about Sheldon Sullivan, who is barely into his sophomore season, redshirt sophomore season, but already is one of the top defenders in the college game. He's the second Sullivan to play for you here, and he started, of course, alongside his older brother, Kyler, last season. What's it been like coaching the Sullivans and getting to know that family? And are you disappointed there's not another brother coming up behind those two?
Yeah, if there were another brother, we'd have him locked up here by now. First-class family, first off. And, you know, ironically, I found Kyler watching Eric Byrd. It was a state cup club game, and I was there to watch Eric Byrd, and it happened to be against Arlington, which was the club Kyler was playing for at the time, and I really didn't know Kyler, and you know, I don't want to talk too much about him because this is for Sheldon, but you know, once we got to know Kyler and then see his brother play, who at the time was a young guy in high school, he had the same qualities. In fact, you know, Kyler, I don't get Kyler mad at me, but he was probably a little bit better at a younger age. And by the way, he happened to be left-footed, which, you know, those type of guys are not easy to find. So we quickly got Sheldon locked up and committed here. But first-class family, and I think anybody who's ever interacted with him and, you know, you've done an interview with him, always smiling.
Yeah, upbeat.
You know, always upbeat. Really good character guy, and, you know, just a great leader and a great guy to have on the team.
Like Steve Swanson with the women's team here, you've been integrating a talented first-year class with a strong nucleus of returning players. In your case, guys like Todd Wharton, Scott Thompson, Jake Rosansky, Sheldon, Nico Corvo, and Riggs Lennon. Is that trickier than people might think on the outside?
I think so. You know, and it seems like it's becoming trickier and trickier, I think, and that's good for college soccer on the men's side anyway. I can't speak for on the women's side, but, you know, back in the day, and when I say back in the day, it's probably 10 years or more, you could count on for good first-year guys, like really special first-year guys, to do well. I mean, not just start, but do well. And it's even your most special, like, quote-unquote pro prospects, you know. It takes time. It takes a lot of time. And you have 2 weeks of preseason. So it's not like you have a fall like a spring sport has to integrate a guy, mm-hmm. or a winter to integrate a guy, get him some games. I mean, they literally have 2 weeks to hit the ground running. And so the guys I've mentioned, Kofi and Derek Etienne and Opoku and Malcolm Dixon, little by little, we're making progress. And it's still going to take some time, but, you know, every now and then Kofi gets his goal and Opoku gets his goal, and we just keep making progress.
The true freshmen you've used the most so far, Opoku, Dixon, Kofi, and Etienne, and another one of their classmates, Wesley Wade, has played well in his appearances. This class came in with a lot of accolades and was highly rated. Is it, you think it will ultimately be as good as advertised?
I do. You know, I do. You know, the one guy who just got some minutes for the first time, Wesley Wade, the other night, is another guy who's coming along. And people from the outside probably don't see it because he hasn't played, but we see it every day. You know, this guy's 190 pounds, 6'1", strong, powerful, athletic guy that we need to, you know, get onto the field and get him some experience. And he got a little bit of that the other night. He's also a guy that can probably play multiple positions, which I think can help us as well. He's traditionally a forward, but he may be able to play some other positions. But, yeah, that the first-year class has done a good job, and we're going to continue to try to bring him along.
You got great play in the goal last season from Callie Brown, especially during the NCAA tournament. His successor, Jeff Caldwell, seems to be performing at a high level, too. What's your assessment of Jeff's play so far? Has he had to make a few more diving saves than you would like?
Yeah, so he's done well, to be honest. And you got to remember, you know, Jeff's got two college games under his belt before the season, you know. So even though he's been here a little bit because he started, you know, halfway through his high school year, he started early here. He really is still a guy that, you know, not fully experienced, but you probably wouldn't know that. That's how well he's played. You know, I don't know if you were at the George Mason game, a game that we thoroughly dominated and completely had under control, and gosh, we were winning 2-0. One of the saves he made at the end of the half, literally 1 minute left in the half, a double save, is as good a save I've seen a goalkeeper make here. So he's getting better with each game. That's the key. Like, I think he loves to learn. Terry Boss, our goalkeeper coach, we have a GoPro camera behind the goal. So it's really a positional camera just for him, to be honest. Those two spend a lot of time on every step, every movement. And Jeff's the type of guy that loves that stuff. So he's doing well, and we hope he keeps trending upwards.
Marcus Salandi DeFour was a key player on your team that made it to the College Cup in 2013. Then he missed last season with a knee injury. Now that his knee is healthy, he's been dealing with nagging hamstring and groin injuries that have kept him out of the lineup. I'm sure that's frustrating for him. How is he coming along, and do you have to remind him to keep the big picture in mind?
Yeah. So anybody that saw our preseason game against Radford, we had him playing as a right back, right fullback, to replace Kyler Sullivan, who we just spoke about. And you can make an argument that he was the best player on the field that night. That's how good he was from that position. So a couple of days later, you know, first 20 minutes the Radford game. The first game was the Navy game that he played in. So the second game was the Radford game. First 15 minutes of that game, he'd made one of his, you know, he's probably the fastest guy on our team, a long run, and tweaked his hamstring. And, you know, a couple weeks go by, and it was unfortunate, and, you know, all the things that go along with coming back from a ACL and then having these little nagging injuries. So we're integrating him back into training for his hamstring, and he tweaks his groin. And so we're 2 weeks into that, and now he's back. He is back integrated into training with the team, and we're just going to be a little bit more cautious with him.
Right.
You know, in a world where this was the playoffs and, you know, it's a quarterfinal game, we would probably consider him for the Notre Dame game, which is next weekend. But I don't think so. I think we're going to get through next week and then have him. He's going to be ready in the next 2 weeks, we think. But what a difference he's going to make for our team, irregardless of where we put him, whether we put him as a forward, he can play as a wide guy, he can play as a fullback. Anywhere that he comes onto the field, he's going to make us better.
Another one of your veterans, Scott Thompson, recently had surgery to repair a sports hernia. If all goes well with Scott's rehab, when might you get him back?
I'm thinking around Halloween, you know, around that time, which is, you know, the earlier the better, but that's a pretty good time.
That still leaves you plenty of time.
It gives him some time it gives him a couple of weeks to get some games, to get his fitness and form back going into the ACC tournament and into the NCAA tournament. So, gosh, that guy, you know, he just had surgery on Monday. I saw him on the track today. He was on the track. You know, he wasn't running, but he was walking fast. He's a true young pro, yeah.
In the latest NCAA coaches poll, 7 teams in the top 20 are from the ACC, including 4 of the top 7. Is this league as good as it's ever been, and is it clearly the number one league out there?
There's absolutely no doubt it's the top league in the – you know, in the country. And I think my statistics, I think we've won out of the past 19 national championships, 17, I think, the ACC. So it's an incredible conference. You know, playing in the conference week in and week out, and specifically once you get to the ACC tournament, in a lot of ways, winning that is tougher than winning the national championship, especially with 12 teams now, and you got to kind of get through 3 rounds. But it also makes you better for the NCAA tournament. I mean, there's absolutely no question about it. With the new teams we've added, they've all added something to the conference, caliber of coaching, caliber of student athlete, just a great, great soccer conference. Yeah.
Your team did it the hard way last year, winning it all after entering the tournament as the number 16 seed. A better seed generally means more home games in the NCAA tournament. Have you put any more emphasis on regular season performance and results this year, or do you need to?
I mean, I would say this, you know, a 16 seed is not much different than a, you know, a 10 seed, for example. Like, you know, you want to, you know, if you're an 8 seed or 5, 6, 7, or 8, you're going to get a bye plus a home game.
Plus a,
You know, so 16 and, like, you know, whatever, 9 don't make a whole lot of a difference, to be fully honest. So our goal is first to get a bye. So to be in that top 16, and then you go 8 is the next one, because you, and then of course a top 4 seed is the best case scenario. But for starters, a bye as a minimum. I want to do better this particular year in the regular season conference. You know, I've said this before. My philosophy or approach is when I play a team twice or 3 times, and I've lost to them once already, I take a lot of pride in not losing to them again. Like, we study them, we learn them, we figure out what it takes to beat them or tie and advance and PKs, whatever it is. Take a lot of pride in that piece of things. And I am a believer that, you know, it's not such a bad thing to take your lumps for a team. I mean, if you're burning too hot through a season and winning, that's generally not successful for me, for my teams, when all you do is win. But I hate losing. I'm competitive as hell. I mean, anybody will tell you that. And I would like to put ourselves in a better position in the ACC this year, in particular because of the way it's structured this year. So if we could have a semifinal here in Klöckner Stadium and the ACC finals here in Klöckner Stadium, because we have a higher seed and did better in the league winning more games, that's got to be a little bit more of a goal this year.
Yeah, I know some of the players have talked about that's kind of the one thing that's eluded them is the conference tournament.
Yep.
I can't remember when the last win and
well, 13, we were in the finals.
Yeah, if you do well in that, it, you know, it helps your seeding too.
Absolutely.
Well, I know you got to get ready
for
the state game. Thanks again for stopping by. Good luck tomorrow night.
Great. Thanks, Jeff.
This is shaping up as a busy, busy weekend in Charlotte for UVA athletics with football, field hockey, men's soccer, women's soccer, and men's tennis games and matches in town. Remember to check virginiasports.com for schedules and information on all 25 of our teams. I'll be back next week with another Wahoo Central podcast. Until then, thanks for listening.